My name is Mridu. I am a graduate from NIFT, which is National Institute of Fashion Technology. I have been working in the apparel industry. I have been working with various export houses and buying houses, and for the past 5 years, I have been associated with academics, specifically in the management and merchandising area. Today, we are going to talk about retail, buying, and merchandising. So we have broken up this book into 13 chapters. First chapter, we are going to talk about retail. The second chapter, we will talk about what is buying. And in the third chapter, we talk about what is merchandising. So what are the roles of a merchandiser? What are the functions that they are supposed to do? And in the subsequent chapters, we talk about how to source products. What are the sourcing channels? What is the supply chain? How do you add value in the supply chain? We will also get introduced to the concepts of private labels and category management, which is the buzzword. And in the last chapter, we talk about retailing for luxury players, which again is a booming area. Okay, so let's start with chapter one. The first chapter is introduction to retail. So we need to understand what exactly is meant by the term retail. The objectives of this chapter are understanding the concept of retailing. What is retailing and how does it help the economy of a country? What are the functions performed by the retailers? Where is the retailer placed in a supply chain or a value chain? And in the end, we will get an overview of the current retail scenario specifically for India. The term retail comes from a French word which means to cut up or to break bulk. What does this mean? This means that a manufacturer is going to manufacture any product in huge quantities so that it is commercially viable for the manufacturer. The manufacturer either has to sell it himself or he can use another organization to sell the product to the end consumer. Okay. So the retailer is this organization who buys from a manufacturer who's producing in huge quantities and then selling it in individual pieces to the end consumer. The end consumer will usually buy one or two pieces of a particular product. In some product categories, they may be buying more quantity. For example, let's say a tissue paper, you would be buying more quantity, but it is not the enough quantity that the manufacturer wants to sell. The manufacturer is producing the product in huge quantities. Okay. So the retailer is going to sell to the end consumer. He is going to sell individual pieces that are not meant for resale. It is meant for personal consumption, which is why we are defining it as saying it is meant for personal, non-business use. It is not going to be resold for a profit. Retail in the supply chain is the last link. It is an extremely important link between the manufacturer and the consumer. So do we really need a retailer? That is something we are going to understand as we proceed through the chapter. That what is the benefit of using a retailer or buying from a retailer vis-a-vis the manufacturer selling directly to the end consumer? We also need to understand that retailer is the most powerful part of the supply chain. Why do you think the retailer is powerful? Obviously, because he is in direct contact with the end consumer. Imagine a situation where you go to a store and ask the salesperson for a particular product. What happens? You look at the product, the salesperson is going to display a few pieces of that product to you, and you start discussing with the people you've come to buy. Maybe it could be your friends, it could be some your family members. And then you start giving comments. Oh, this is a nice color, or this is such a funny style. I don't like this button on it, or the features are not good enough. The price is too high for these features. These kind of comments we make within ourselves with our friends or people whom we are buying with. Who do you think is listening to all this? Obviously, the salesperson. This feedback from the salesperson is evaluated by the retailer, thus making him the most powerful entity in the supply chain. The consumer is the focal point of the retailer's activities. It is the consumer who is going to buy the product. If the consumer is not happy, if he does not go back and buy from the same retailer again, the retailer is never going to be successful. He will not make profits. We need to understand that retaining a customer is extremely important. It is even more important to convert a first-time customer into a loyal customer. It is easier and less expensive for a retailer to retain an existing customer than to lure more new customers. Okay. Now, what has been the role of a retailer traditionally? And after that, we will talk about what is the current role of a retailer. So traditionally, retailers were stockists. They used to simply buy products in huge quantities from the manufacturer, stock it in their store, and then sell it to the end consumer. Their role was to provide suitable selections of the product in small quantities, thereby breaking bulk into smaller quantities. Hence, the use of the term retail. As we said, in the 20th century, retailers were mainly stockists. They would buy what was available from the manufacturers and sell it, adding a profit for themselves. Today, the role of a retailer has undergone a sea change. It is extremely different from the role of the retailer that was there in the last century. Today, the retailer decides everything, every aspect of the product, the pricing, the marketing strategies, the retail mix, the merchandise assortment, and they are so powerful that they dictate to the manufacturer everything that the manufacturer needs to produce. So today, the manufacturer produces what the retailer demands. The retailer will demand, obviously, what the end consumer is demanding. So we say it is the consumer's market. It is the buyer's market. And the buyer is the king. The retailer today is therefore not only a passive distributor. He is a proactive intermediary. What does the word intermediary mean? It means it is somebody who is in between two parties or two entities. Who are these two parties? It is obviously the supplier and the buyer or the consumer. Okay, so the retailer today is not passive anymore. He is not buying what the manufacturer has produced and then simply selling it. He is proactive, which means he is deciding every little element of the retail mix, of the product, the pricing, the marketing mix, the retail strategies, the design, the colors. Every aspect is decided by the retailer and the manufacturer has to produce the same. The retailer today caters to the consumer's convenience. So it is not only about the product, it is also about the experience the consumer has when he walks into a particular retail store. Okay, so today we know that it is not only about retailing in a store. It is also online retail. Today, selling is taking place not only through the brick and mortar concept or through a store. Selling is online. Selling is via WhatsApp. Selling is via a mobile phone. But irrespective of whether a retailer sells through the brick and mortar channel, which means through a store, or whether the retailer is selling online or he is selling using a WhatsApp or any other app on the mobile, the basic focus of the retailer is the customer. All his retail mix, all his products, every decision that the retailer makes will have to keep the customer's convenience and experience in mind. Hence, the buying preferences and habits of the consumer, of the target consumer of that retailer needs to be borne in mind when the retailer is making his decisions when he is planning his merchandise assortment or he is deciding his retail strategy. Okay. Retail sector includes sale of products in a store as well as services. So we just said retail means selling of products via a store, via an online or a website or an app through the mobile. But it is not only limited to products. Retail also means services. So what kind of services do you think get included in the retail sector? Think of a situation where you're going to a doctor in a hospital or a clinic. That is a service sector. Similarly, you go to a restaurant to eat or you go to a hotel. They are all part of the retail service sector. Okay? So the systems, the methods, the policies that we use for retail will apply to these service sectors also. What about delivery of Domino's to your house? That is also retail service. So a product is being sold and add to that the service of delivering the pizza to your house. It is retail again. Okay? Retail is a very dynamic sector that is continuously evolving. In the past few decades, especially in the past few decades, retail has boomed. It has changed in a huge way. When I was young, there were no malls. Today, every street has a mall. A mall is retail, whether it is in terms of selling a product, whether it is something like a big bazaar, whether it is something like Croma, which specializes in electronic product retail, or whether it is a food court in a retail mall. They are all examples of retail. So let's look at a supply chain. What does a supply chain mean? We also refer to the supply chain as a value chain because at each stage, we are adding value to the product. So we start with the raw materials. The raw materials will vary depending on the product. Then we go on to components or subparts, which are then assembled at the manufacturer's level. Now, in some supply chains, depending on the product category, you may not have a component. For example, let's talk about apparel. You have raw materials as fabrics, buttons, zippers, trims, and then you have a manufacturer who is going to stitch the fabric, attach the trims, and then sell the product. Okay? So there is no component in that. In certain cases, for example, let's say a car. A car producer cannot produce each and every component of the car. So they will source components from many manufacturers who specialize in making those components and then sell them to the manufacturer who is going to assemble these components and ready the final car. Okay. The manufacturer sells to a retailer. This is the level that we are talking about. What is retail? How do they work? How do they help the economy? How do they help the consumers? And the retailer sells to the final consumer. Okay, so can we classify the retail sector to make our life easier? Why do we need to classify? It is easier to understand. It is a good communication tool when you classify retail or classify any aspect.
Okay,
and most of these names are familiar for you. Okay, so a store retailer, which we also call the brick and mortar stores, can be many. It could be your local grocery store in your street or residential area. It could be a mall where you have these big stores, big sellers, for example, Lifestyle, Globus, Shoppers Stop, Fab India, Croma, Big Bazaar. These are all store retailers. Some store retailers today have moved on to various alternative ways of retailing. What are these? Obviously, online. Yeah. So how do we term them? they will be termed as non-store retailers because they are not selling through a store. Okay, so what are these channels of non-store retail? It could be a TV. So you've seen enough commercials on TV. So there are channels like Info 18 and all, which say, which only demonstrate and sell products. Okay, so that is one way of selling via a non-store channel. It could be via the email. It could be through a telephone. Okay, examples could be Tupperware, which is sold only through what we call as the party plan, which means there is a party is conducted between people and they attend the party, eat, drink, have a nice time, and at the same time they sell and buy Tupperware. So that is a non-store retail channel. Similarly, Avon and Amway, these are sold mainly through individuals who act as dealers or agents, and they sell it through personal contacts or word of mouth. Okay. The last segment is the service retailer, which, like we just discussed, could be a doctor, it could be a dentist, it could be Domino's delivering pizza to your house, it could be a Pizza Hut, and it could also be a hotel, a restaurant, a travel agent, a beauty parlor, a spa. These are all examples of service retailers. So here they do not have components, but they do have some raw materials being used. In case of a beauty parlor, you will have some raw materials being used. In case of a travel agent, you may not have any raw materials being used. It is only the travel, the experience, the service that that agent gives to you, that is important. Again, needless to say, the focal point is the customer, and the customer is the king. So he has to be happy. Okay, let's look at some more examples of service retailers. A school or a college. What about a plumber or a carpenter? Now, they are individuals. They do not belong to an organization. They may not even be educated. But when you call a plumber to your house, that is also a service retailer. You may use certain products. So a plumber comes and says, ye nal change karna hai. Okay. So you are getting some product in which you are paying for, but it is mainly the service that you are paying for to that person. So a plumber or a gardener or a carpenter, they are all examples of service retailers. What are the characteristics of a retailer? Let's look at the characteristics of a retailer so that we understand the concept of retail better. Okay. The retailer is the last link in the chain of distribution. So in the supply chain, which is also the chain of manufacture and then distribution of a product or service, the retailer is the last link. He is the one who sells to the end consumer. The retailer also purchases the product in huge quantities from either directly from the manufacturer or from the wholesaler and sells in small quantities to the end consumer. The retailer may deal in a wide variety of products, or the retailer may deal in a few categories of products. So if we talk about a big bazaar, they are dealing in a huge variety of products, starting from apparel, grocery, vegetables, stationery, plastics, furniture, everything. Okay. You could have, again, like a Croma, who deals only in electronics. You could have a spa, which deals only in giving health and wellness treatments to the consumers. So there is no rule as to what kind of merchandise a retailer has to keep or the variety a retailer has to keep. Today, there are a huge number of retail formats. Every day, more and more retail formats are evolving. And we are learning of new retail formats that are coming in. People, retailers are keeping different varieties, different product categories, selling it in new, unique ways. So the retailer is supposed to develop personal contact with the consumer and also develop a long-term relationship or rapport with the consumer to keep him coming back to his retail organization. If we say coming back to his store, it may not be so relevant in today's situation where we have a lot of selling online. The retailer aims at providing maximum satisfaction to the consumer. For that, they undertake many surveys, researches to find out what is going to satisfy the consumer and make them happy and turn them into loyal customers. Okay. So you're already familiar with marketing and the four P's of marketing, which are place, product, price, and promotion. Similarly, a retailer also has to make marketing decisions. He also has to decide the four P's for his product and his range. He also has to decide a retail mix. So, and retail strategies. So let's look at what are the various decisions that a retailer needs to make. A retailer needs to decide the product assortment. If I am a retailer, what is the product category that I am going to keep in my store? What is the product category I am going to sell? Who is my target customer? At what price point would they like to buy? What kind of promotions do they get lured by, or they will get tempted by, so that they come and buy my product? These are the kind of decisions that the retailer needs to make. So, width and depth of the assortment. Width means the variety available with a retailer. What is the variety? How many different product categories are they selling? That is the width of the assortment. Depth of the assortment means that within each product category, how much choice, selection, and variation is available so that the consumer can buy. Quality of products. So we know that there are some good quality products, you could get bad quality products, you could get some very good quality products. Needless to say, price varies with quality, though not always. But the retailer has to decide what level of quality he is going to keep in his store. What level of quality does he want to sell? And this will also depend on the image the retailer wants to create in the minds of the consumer. What are the different product differentiation strategies that the retailer is going to follow? I'm sure you understand that differentiation means how does the retailer differentiate himself from another retailer selling a similar product category? And what makes him stand out from competition? So those kind of strategies need to be decided by the retailer. They also need to decide the services mix. What kind of choice is available? What kind of non-price competition is the retailer going to adhere to? So, competition is usually on price. But if a retailer wants to differentiate, he should use non-price competition. Okay. Then we need to understand that the retailer has a store. In today's context, they may not have a store. Okay. But the online, the portal, the website also needs to have a certain store atmosphere. So what is the store atmosphere? The store atmosphere is a sum total of all elements of the store, which means it starts with the physical layout of the product, how is the product displayed, whether it is, in case of apparel, it is on hangers or it is on shelves or it is on a dummy or a mannequin, what kind of mannequins, what is the feel of the store, what is the ambience of the store, what is the atmosphere. For example, if you go to a spa, you will have dim lighting, you will have some nice perfumes being or air fresheners, some very good smell, some very nice instrumental music. That is all going to create the ambience of the store. That is very important, so that the customer gets an experience that is different from other retailers of the same category. Okay, this ambience or this store atmosphere has to tempt the customer to walk into the store time and again and to continue buying the product. When we talk of store atmosphere, it doesn't mean that we're talking only of brick and mortar stores. We are also talking of online retailers. So how does this store atmosphere translate into online retail? Online, the retailer has a tough job of recreating the store atmosphere on the website. So when the customer goes onto their website, they should get the same feel that the store also offers. That is in case of a retailer who has both a store as well as selling online. In case it is only an online seller, then needless to say, they still need to ensure that the website is very friendly for the consumer to use. It is easy for them to understand and it gives the essence of the retailer. It maintains the retailer's image.